Today's daf is daf Kuf Samar Gimel, and we are involved right now in figuring out how to avoid the possibilities of forgery on the blank space in a contract between the end of the contract and the signature of the Aiden. We spoke about how much we could leave that would still be okay. If you recall, the din is that the last line is specifically not counted, and therefore that's part of our guarantee against forgery, because it means that you have to have enough space to put in something and then another line about reviewing that something. So therefore, one line is not going to be a problem anyway. We talked about the size of that line yesterday, and that you have to have enough of the line and also the two lines plus the spaces, because if you don't have the spaces, it's not going to look like the normal shtar. And today we want to talk about what size handwriting we have to worry about. Because the truth is that professionally written shtarot are not something that anybody can do on their own. A professional written shtar is written with the ketav of a sofer that's thin, small, sharp, and requires less space than somebody who's going to forge something on his own who's not an expert. And so today's Gemara, Ankuf Samar Gimel, right here in Baba Basra, Perek Get Poshet, last Perek of an exciting Masechta, is all about what handwriting. We begin on with the words Shnei Shitim Sha'amru, which is Reb Shabtai, and this is on the fifth line. Reb Shabtai Omar Mishbei Dechizkiah, Shnei Shitim Sha'amru, Bechtav Yedei Edim, the Lo Ketav Yad Sofer. What we're talking about over here is the witness's handwriting, and not the handwriting of the sofer, my timer. The cholam is zayev lav lagabi safra azim zayev. It is difficult to find a professional forger. Things have changed. It was difficult to find a professional forger because somebody risks his livelihood. There wasn't enough forgery around to keep you going just as a forger once upon a time. So nobody's going to risk their livelihood being exposed as, right, it's also supposedly legit, so therefore it's not going to die. So they're going to do it on their own. And if they do it on their own, they're going to use normal handwriting like the Aiden would. And therefore, you'd have to leave enough space for two lines of that type of writing. Vikama, when you're talking about leaving lines in the space in between, what size lines in that handwriting would you have to leave? Omer Yitzchak ben Elazar, kagon, did I see?
Oh, you know, you can read it inside.
Kigon lecha lecha zel gabize. Since he's not a professional, he's not going to be able to line up his lines correctly, and he may end up with the word referring to lecha and mentioning lecha once again on the second line. If he does that, the upper part of the lamed may hit the lower part of the chaf, which would look extremely non-professional and would automatically attract the Beit Din. Therefore, he leaves enough space to have that extra room for the Chof and the Lama to hit. If the Chof goes all the way down in line, the Lama goes all the way up in line. So in other words, he holds that the lines that you would need in order to be Choshesh for Ziyuf would be Dafka, two lines of writing, but it would require four spaces because you need to leave the two spaces for the chaf and the lamed in between, plus the normal space that was left by the sofer originally in the upper line, and the bottom space for the signature of the edim, which is already there, so I don't have to worry about that. Reb Chiya Barami Mishmedu Ulamar. Well, you know, a person can try enough to make sure that he doesn't get the lamed and the chaf touching each other. So all you need is the lamed milamala and the chaf milamata, enough room for a lamed not to hit the above line, and for the long leg of a chaf on the lower line not to hit, which would mean amakasava shnei shitim u'shlosha avirim. According to him, you would really only need two lines and three spaces, which is what we always thought. Rabbi Avu Amerim, kegon boruch ben Levi b'shita achat. It would be enough to have the Baruch, which has a long chof at the end, Levi, that has the lamed on the top, that would mean that you need enough space to avoid the lamed and the chof hitting the ketav below or above. And kasava shita achat v'shnei avirina, even though one line is really not enough to be mezayif because we always ignore the last line. So what's the problem? So Tosfos explains that you have to say that shita achat v'shnei avirin is more than two shitim without any avir. Because two shitim without any avir, we already saw, is not an issue. Because nobody's going to leave no avir because that attracts the attention of the court. So this must be slightly more than that. So in other words, I would have enough space to be able to put in two thin lines plus a little bit of avir between them if the normal line that's left is the space for Baruch ben Levi. So he's very machmer, in other words. Omar Rav, this whole discussion is Loshenu Ela Bein Edim Lichtav. The only discussion is an empty space between the signature of the witnesses and the contract above it, and there the contract becomes possible because it doesn't follow the rules of contract writing. So since it's not made ketakanat rachamim, it has the din of imbil v'balpet. The edus may be good edus, but the contract is not a good contract. But if you're talking about space between the edim la'asharta, so let's say that you have a contract, it was brought into court, the court stamped the henpek on it and signed, and the signatures on the henpek are way beneath it. It's all at the bottom of the page. So if you are going to come in now and want to use a henpek, which is at the bottom of the page of the contract that is signed on the top, that's perfectly okay. Afilu tuva nami kasher, even if there be a lot of space between the court stamp and the signature, that's fine. What? Why? Maishnal ben edim lichtav. I understand. You said that if we have the two lines, whatever the shear was, between the signature of the witnesses and the actual body of the contract, that that's no good, because Dilma Mizayev forgot that my the boy, because maybe he was Mizayev something, wrote whatever he wanted, and he's got these witnesses signed there, right? V'chatimi sa'ade. So why isn't that true about the area between the Eidim and the Asharata? I mean, he could be Mizayev. What's to prevent him from writing a new contract? Yeah, write a new contract under the original contract, and now he's got a new contract that's got a kiyum of best, and he's got forged signatures, but nobody looks at the signatures because the court's already supposedly guaranteed those signatures. The court never saw those signatures. He added the whole thing in the space between, the empty space between the closing of the witnesses on the real contract and the court stamp on that contract. Now we end up having a court stamp on a non-existent contract. Cut it off. Who cares? Yeah. Or even if there was two, what's wrong? Why not? So cut it off. You're happier if you cut it off. Cut it off. In those days, they didn't remember paper was a premium. So whatever, you use whatever was available, put it down and stamp it. You can do a contract on the bottom of the piece. You can bring in a little tiny piece of paper with a contract on it. What's the difference? Don't get hung up on modern practices. So I don't understand what could Rav possibly amend by that? Says the Gemara. I mean, it's obviously just as problematic, isn't it, as the space in the contract itself? Says the Gemara. Well, I mean, obviously he didn't mean that it was left blank. He meant the metayetlei, like you do on the checks. Where you know you have the check printer, so it makes those little beep beep beep. You know, the little dots that run all the way across between the amount and the. That's exactly what tiyut is. So the surfer puts in little dots of ink. We can't put in an entirely thick ink. We're going to see. We run into problems with that. It does points out. If you do that, then there'd be no way to figure out what to do with a mechir, because you can't tell whether there was writing on it before, if you make everything black. But we'll get into those questions later. But the partial meaning of a title, he inks in it. How exactly you have to ink it in, with lines, with dots, with full ink, that we'll get into later. But let's assume right now, like the Rabbeinu Tam says, you dot it in or you line it in. And that way, there'd be no problem. How is somebody going to be able to write something in between? Huh? So then you could do that in a contract too. So you're contrasting two cases. You're saying, where is there a problem in a shtar? But when it comes to the asharta, then there's no problem. That's what you said. Then I ask you, why not? So you explain, because it's inked in. So then the other case could also have been inked in. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, if you write now, no, you can't do that, you see. Because then you're not going to be able to prove that the contract was signed. Because over there, I would say, perhaps people, the court will say, Amri Sahadi, Atiyutu Dechatime. How do I know that these Aden were signed on the contract? In other words, maybe the guy was concerned that, this looks awfully suspicious. So he calls over two guys and says, look, I just want you to sign here that you saw that this was done not as an erasure or anything. We just filled this in because we had extra space. So could you sign? So they sign. Now, the court's going to say, if there's a signature following anything at all that might have required a signature, maybe a list of erasures, for that matter. How do I know that the signature is meant to refer to the entire contract? Says the question, couldn't you say the same thing about the Asharata itself? If you're going to ink in the distance, the space between the signature and the court stamp, then maybe the stamp is just there to say there was nothing suspicious about this document, or we saw that the empty space was inked in. So couldn't you say the same thing? So Benia Edim Lasharta Nami, you could say that same thing, that perhaps the Bedina Diyutu the Khatime. All they were signing on was on the ink in order to avoid suspicion. Oh, come off it. No self-respecting court puts a stamp on the fact that something was inked in. Bedina Diyutu lo Khatime. I mean, you're Edim, you can call any idiot over. And you tell the guy something that sounds reasonable. They sign on this. On what? Just that it's that I inked this in, and that you see, you watch me ink it in, there was nothing there. Because otherwise people are going to suspect me. Okay, so the idiot signs. So what do we know? So we wouldn't be able to use the witnesses, but certainly we're going to be able to use the handbook of a court, and we make it impossible for the guy to forge anything, because we've got the entire area on top inked in. Wait a minute, how do we know that he didn't just erase the ink in? All he has to do is cut off the top of the contract so that nobody suspects that there was an ink in, and then erase the ink in, and now use the contract again. So he cuts off the original contract completely. He now erases the tiuta. It's interesting that we use tiuta as blah, blah, blah in modern Hebrew. Whereas what tiuta means, just ink in. The tiuta of the contract means the first version.
Yada, yada, yada.
Well, yeah, almost. So, vikatav maidaboy. So now he'll write on the area that he erased. Umachtim sahadi. Now he will have now the witnesses that he's going to sign on, and he's going to have them already muchtam and henpecked. There you go. It's already a court that attests to the fact that this was a kosher shtar. The Omar Rav, and if you'll say, but wait a minute, everybody will see that it's all erased. So, the Omar Rav shtar haba hu ve'edav ala mechek kasher. If the whole thing was obviously written on a piece of parchment that had once been used, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's on the same level of erasure. So now I know that this was people looking for a piece of parchment, which is expensive. They scraped off the original writing. I can see that it's been scraped off once. Later on, tomorrow we're going to get into the sugya of how we tell the difference between one-time erasure, two-time erasure. But we can. Obviously, the whole thing is based on that. So if now I'll write the entire thing, not that the Edim are on the original and there's some erasure before, everything is on the same level of erasure. I said, okay, fine. So they used an erased piece of parchment. What's so bad about that? And that indeed would be kosher. So then if the henpeck is going to be usable, what's to prevent somebody from using an old shtar with this tiuta? Erase it and just keep the henpeck.
Erase the tiuta?
Erase the tiuta.
And continue on.
And then just write whatever you want in that space. So, Haini Chalor of Kahana. Look, it's true. I mean, we didn't tell you this before, but there is a shita that what we just said in the name of Rav was really not in the name of Rav. Rav Kahana said, no, it was Shmuel who said that. So if it was Shmuel who said that, then it's fine. So then if he's a Maaseh Mishpeitei Shmuel Shapir, because it was Rav over here that said the difference between the Henpik and the Edim and the Ktav of the Shtar in the Edim. So he has to be the one that can't hold that we would have been able to write it on the Mechak. Okay, fine, so then maybe it was Shmuel. But if you go according to Rav Tevyumi, Rav Tevyumi was the source of our version that we just had, namely, the Masla B'Shmeid Rav. So how could Rav himself say that a contract can be written on an erased piece of parchment and at the same time say there's not a problem in leaving an empty space that you just ink in between a Ktav of the Edim and the Henpik of a Beit Din, where all you need to do is erase it and put in a new Shtar? So I don't get it. Now, the truth is that this is anyway a problem. That's the Rashbam tells us both point out. Because if you're going to ask this question, then it has nothing to do with henpiks. You can ask this question on any shtar at all. You can always be mezayef, the upper shtar, by erasing it. That's all. You're saying that I'm able to erase a shtar as long as it's written on an erasure, right? So what's the problem? I could do that. I could erase any shtar and do that. If there's a henpik on the page. Yeah, what are we talking about, Dafka, this whole business of Rav's psak, where there's the inking in, there's the dutah between the signature? Just say, you've got a shtar with a henpik, so then you can't use that, because who knows? If the whole thing was written as an erasure, so then any shtar has nothing to do with Rav's mimer. Any shtar should not be usable with its henpik, because it gives you the option of putting in a new shtar and using the henpik for that, right? It's not really Nogea Rav's halacha. We're creating your question as if, well, it's Rav that has the problem, since he said you could put in a tuta. And if you don't put in a tuta, you're going to have to anyway deal with this issue. Isn't that true? The truth is, of course it's true. Kosama, and the solution is, that koki agavne in mekaimino to mina ashar tashabo alamina edim shema. Obviously, what we'll have to say is, in the end, that Rav holds, but the truth is that any shita like this would have to hold, that where you have a shtar that has a henpik on it, and the shtar is written together with its edim on the mechak, so then obviously we will not use the henpik. All that we could do is ask a court to again be mekayim it based on the edim that are signed on the erasure. We're not stupid. If the henpik's not on the erasure and the signature is on the erasure, you'd have to be awfully dumb to think it's got a henpik, so it's kosher. I mean, why would it be kosher? So would you clearly have to start over again? Any fool would recognize the henpik was there from before, and now I've got a shtar with edim that are signed on an erasure. So get a new henpik for the erasure signature. So in such a case, you'd have to get now a kiyum based on the edim and not based on the asharta on the henpik. It's very visible. It's erasure-proof paper. Because you see that it's not written on the erasure.
Oh, you see
that.
Oh, you
yeah,
see
you could tell the difference. The those things that are on the erasure are the things that are on the original.
It's just by the form of the paper.
Right. There's the Gemara gives the formula for doing this in Yid. So we'll see later on more of these issues. Rabbi Yochanan says, I disagree with that psak. There's absolutely no difference when we said over here that to say that it should be kosher. On the contrary, you're right that lo shana lo bein edim lechtav about that part, yes. But the point is that bein edim la asharta, it's even worse. There, afilu shita achat nami pasul. Not only is Rav wrong in saying that you can tolerate more than the normal gap of two shitot, even one shita is pasul. That's the reason. Why is that? Wait a minute. I guess. I'm guessing at your svar. That bein edim la asharta, you're saying if there's even one line between the stamp of the court and the signature, that it's possible. The only thing I can think of is that you're holding like this. You can cut off the upper shtar to refrain dimagayas li'ilai, and then you will write a one-line document. Reuven owes Shimon $10,000, and then you'll have two witnesses following those words on that one line. I mean, that's what I'm assuming. Otherwise, what's the problem? So then you'll katav hu ve'edav v'shitachat. You'll have a one-line contract, including the signature. And obviously, I mean, if you hold that this is a problem, so then it must be the Rabbi Yochanan old shtar haba hu ve'edav v'shitachat. It's kasher. That's what you're saying. But so then if that's what you're saying, then you certainly could do the same thing between the edim and the katav. And it's even nicer, isn't it? If you hold that, so you obviously do not hold of the general rule that the last line is ignored. On the contrary, you're saying you can use a contract which is only a one-line contract. So then, if that's the case, why not do that with a contract, with a regular contract? So Yachi Bein Edim Lichtav Nami. Why don't you cut off the upper part, which is the contract? You're left with the one blank line between the signatures. And now that looks like that's all that there ever was. Right in that line, Reuven owes Shimon $10,000. You then have two witnesses signed beneath it, and everything's great. You've already got the witnesses signed. That's even better. I mean, here you're going to have to sign witnesses. So Dilma Geisle, Levikot of Maide Aboy Vechatim Esahade. Come on, that's the whole point. Because of course Rabbi Yochanan holds you don't believe whatever it says in the last line. What he's saying is that there's two different type of shtarot. If the witnesses are signed under the signatures, so then the way to avoid the problem... What did I say? If the witnesses are signed under the shtar, sorry. The witnesses are signed under the shtar, then the only way to avoid forgery is to ignore the last line. That obviously agrees to that. But if you've got a one-line shtar that ends at the end of the line with the signatures of the Aiden, then you don't have the problem of somebody inserting something before signatures. Nobody signed at the end of a line. So over there, you don't have this problem of needing to ignore. Therefore, I say, look, if you've got a signature that's normal, one signature on the other, on a shtar, and then the only chashash is that maybe you'll cut off the upper shtar, the last line won't matter anyway. And therefore, by definition, there does not exist a one-line shtar with signatures that follow it. So there's no problem. There's nothing to be mezayev. If you walk into court with one line and two signatures under it, they'll throw you out. But if you've got a handpick, and now you can write a one-line contract with the signatures at the end of the line, oh, now there you got a problem. Therefore, I say, handpicks create more problems than shtarot. So kasava shtar haba hu b'shita achat ve'edav b'shita acheret pasul. That for sure I agree, says Rabbi Yochanan. That's the standard for protection against forgery, is the fact that you can't have a line before the signatures. I never argued on that. Now, if that's the case, hold on a second. Why can't you start off with a contract that has the two signatures, and you're saying the one line doesn't matter? All right. But how about if he fills in that one line with a one-line contract and two signatures? There's nothing to prevent him from doing that. So, v'leichosh dilma katav hu ve'edav v'shitachat v'yamar ana l'rabot be'edim hu de'avide. He could always say, well, look, I've got four edim here. You know, I mean, obviously, the first line on its own was a perfectly useful contract. You know that there's no problem in adding edim. So what's the problem? You don't like the way I wrote my pretty contract because I've got too many signatures? Since when is there a problem of too many signatures? So then when we come to be Mekayim, the witnesses, so the court says, well, we can't find anybody to sign that these are the correct signatures. Oh, really? He says, okay, well, why don't we try number three? And number four, which of course are correct signatures, except they were for a different shtar, right? The first two signatures that he forged and put on the one line. So of course the court can't be Mekayim that because there ain't no such signatures. But now he's claiming, but I added signatures. So now you can't say that we don't have a contract if we look at those signatures because we ignore the last line. But in this case, the last line had signatures at the end. So now just be Mekayim the shtar with two out of the four signatures, namely the last two. And then the joke's on you. So why not? Because obviously, Kosova, Koki, I Gavna, Ein Mekaimimato, Minaidim Shilamata, Minaidim Shilamala. That if, in fact, somebody walks in with a contract that has the witnesses on one line, together with the contract, plus additional witnesses afterwards, we are not so stupid as to be Mekayim the Shtar with the two lower witnesses. Because the first thing that pops into your head is, now wait a minute, there could always have been something written above those two witnesses that he cut off. So, of course, they're not going to look at those witnesses.
The second set.
We see it as the second set. He said, just add it. But we'll always go to the witnesses on the line. If we can't be Mekayim, the witnesses on the line, then the other witnesses are viewed as just as an attempt of forgery.
He has the need for only two witnesses to begin with.
Correct. He wants to be Mefarsem the issue, which is why he's adding it. That we saw before. There's no problem. So he says. So, I mean, you could always do that, you know. You mean Bechabit people by having them sign. There's no problem in that. We saw yesterday. Reb Shabtai Omer Mishmei Chizkia. Shnei Shitim Shamru Bichtav Yedei Edim Velo Ktav Yedei Sofer. My time, huh? The Kolam Mizayev Lav Lagabi Safra Ozlo Mizayev Vekama Omer Reb Yitzchak Ben Elazar Kegon Lecha Lecha Ze Agabi Ze Amakasava Shnei Shitim Ve'arba'a Avirim Reb Chia Barami Mishmei Dulo Amar Kegon Lamed Milamala Vechaf Milamata Ambakasova Shne Shitim Ushlosha Avirim. Rabbi Abahu Omer, Kigon Boruch Ben Levi Bishitachat. Kasova Shitachat Vishne Avirim. Omar Rav Lo Shonu Ela Ben Edim Lichtav, Ava Ben Edim Lasharta, Afilutu Venami Kosher. Maishno Ben Edim Lichtav Duma Mizayev Kota Maida Boy Vakatimi Sahade. Ben Edim Lasharta Namizayev Kota Maida Boy Vakatimi Sahade. The Matayatle. Ihochi Ben Edim Litstanami Matayatle. Amri Sahari at you to do the Khatimi. So you can say the same thing here, Ben Edim Lashartanami Amri Bedina at you to the Khatimi. That's because Bedina at you to lo Khatimi. Volekish Dilma Gaisle Liloy Mokhikle Lityuta Vikata Maida Boyu Machim Sahari. The Omar of Shtar Abahu the Yadava Lameka Kasher. Say Nihlurf Kana, who said that it wasn't Rav who ever said that. It was Shmuel, so then okay. Shapira, Rav Minyum, Tavyumi, the Matin of Bishmein to Rav, Michael Amema. Kasova Koki, Agavna, Ein Mekaimimoto, Mina Asharta Shabo, Elamin Aedim Shabo. You have to start over again. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, I disagree to the opposite extreme. Loshona Labene Aedim Lichtav, Avo Benedim La Asharta, Afilo Shita Achatami Pasa. Maishna Benedim La Asharta, Dima Gaisli Loy. Vekatav hu veidav v'shita achat, and obviously kasavar, shtar haba hu veidav v'shita achat kasher, iachi benedim lichtav nami, dilma gaiz leiloi loi, vekata maide boi, vekatim esahade, and then you'll have now the same thing. No, you won't, kasavar shtar haba hu v'shita achat, veidav v'shita acheret is worse than if it's all in one line. And there you ignore the upper line, and that's possible. So then why not be lechesh demokata vuveda v'shita achaz? And then he'll say in the lower two, it just was l'rabot beidim hu de'avde, and you'll be mekayimet with the lower two, because kasava koke agavna in mekayimimato min eidim shalamata. Ela meidim shalamalam.